Do you recall early this past week after the polar vortex's hold had broken off on our region a bit, but before the rains resumed, there was one day when the sun shone brightly in our winter sky. I found myself orienting to the warmth of that sun, even while the ambient temperature was still somewhere around freezing. It was a real gift. I see a few nodding heads, maybe for you too. The verb for such basking in the winter sunshine is to apricate, like apricot, but ending A-T-E, apricate. It's a medieval word, doesn't get used much anymore, but I love it. Apricate, to bask in the winter sunshine, from the Latin apricus, which simply means the warmth of the sun. And a few weeks ago, here in this space before a service, I heard someone in the parish tapping this medieval, rarely used word in the noun form, not apricate, but apricity. Apricity. Folks, these are Scrabble words, got it? Apricity, which is the noun meaning the warmth of the winter sun. And then it was used a few days later in a movie that Kathy and I were watching, and I said, oh, that's a sign. I got to put it in a sermon sometime. The gift of apricity is one that evokes joy, one that evokes orienting to it. And I would invite you in your Scrabble games, maybe in a crossword, but certainly in your lexicon, resurrect these words in your own right. Have some fun with them. This past week, as I was apricating on that Monday before the rains began again the next day and pondering the scriptures for this sermon here, it gave me pause to wonder what sort of analogous experience did these first disciples at the Sea of Galilee enjoy as Jesus passed by their boats that fateful morning? I can imagine a night of fishing in the chilly night air, returning at daybreak to mend their nets, likely still shivering a bit on the seashore. What were they hoping that day as they went about their routine tasks of life? I've stood there on that west bank of the Sea of Galilee numerous times as the sun has risen from the east across the lake. And folks, it is cold in that high desert of the Middle East, finger tingling cold, even as the water glistens with the first light of the new dawn. And in time, the sun comes over those Golan Heights and the West Bank and reveals its warmth to the one who is oriented to it. That's apricity. Were Peter and Andrew and James and John waiting for that sun's apricity that simple morning? And what was it about Jesus' countenance that had them orienting to his face instead of the sun? What weight of glory shone on Jesus' face that prompted them to leave their boats and follow him? We're told to immediately follow him. Perhaps it was the invitation to become fishers of people, whatever that might mean. But I wonder if it was the rumble of hope that was pervading their seaside villages that had Jesus coming to them time and again to say, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. There's a sense of urgency in it. Indeed, there's a sense of urgency pervading all our scriptures this morning. Jonah in the Old Testament heads to the imperial city to say, you got 40 days to turn it around, Ninevites. For the record, they do. The second lesson is lifted from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, a motley crew whom Paul would have had personal relationships. And he is exhorting them across this letter to come together and put aside the things that are not the ultimate purpose of life, the penultimate pieces, and plot a faithful course of following Jesus, it is an earnest appeal with a sense of urgency to the appointed time has grown short, he says. And then our gospel passage clips along with an immediacy that orients to the rising of a Son of God who has come to heal and make whole the entire world. These are our scriptures. And so for the question for us, I suppose, this morning is, can we situate ourselves in this biblical urgency in ways that make sense for us as people of faith today? What are we to do with these readings? One way, I suppose, to orient is to focus on the gloom, the uncertainty that besets us in our own time. I'll rehearse just a little. Do you remember in 2020, at the height of the pandemic, when grocery shelves were bare and hospitals were overwhelmed and morgues were overflowing, and how many people were prophesying the end of the world as we know it? Or do you follow the climate change messaging that declares we are well beyond the pinch point of global heating, the point of no return, and the cataclysm of ecological collapse has been set in motion? Or just this week, the nuclear time clock has been reset to 90 seconds before midnight, the closest to midnight, the closest to global nuclear catastrophe we have ever been since it started in 1947. Or the political landscape in our nation that teeters on half-truths and a fulcrum of fear and a zero-sum game that would seemingly rather kill our democracy than find a way to live together in a deeply wounded one. It's a lot to hold. It's a lot to hold. And I trust you get the point. There is a sense of urgency in our own time. I'm willing to bet that nearly every generation across human history has felt the same in some fashion. War, famine, pestilence, pandemic. So how we frame our reality matters. Now, I know this is all news that sells. And it's really difficult, becoming more increasingly difficult, not to orient to it in increasingly anxious and even neurotic ways. But folks, we are being invited to live a different way, to orient, to apricate to another way, not to put our heads in the sand. The existential threats are real. But as followers of Christ, the Paschal mystery invites us to hold these threats within the framework of a hope that resurrection is the ultimate and true reality of God's design, not just for you and me, but for the entirety of creation. And God is inviting us through Jesus to lean into that, to apricate to that. To apricate to that resurrection hope that says there is more to this life than just this life. So how do we do this? Well, we show up. We show up for and with one another. We show up in a community like this that is striving mightily to live along such a narrative of hope while resolving to work for the reign of God to break in even here and now in creation, in climate change, in global conflict, in our own national political landscapes, in our own lives, in our own villages. We do our small part in this corner of the world, on the banks of a sea where we look for Jesus to pass by and speak words of hope to us. It doesn't require us to solve it all. The little things matter. The little things make a difference. There are a lot of little things in the life of this cathedral community. And I'll just name two. One long-standing as an example, and one nascent as an example. First, evening prayer on weekdays, 6 p.m. For decades, lay leaders in this community have held the place of daily prayer for anyone who wants to come. It's on Zoom now to make it easier for wherever you are. 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, open to anyone the world over to say, prayer matters and I'm investing my time in it. And then secondly, a newborn idea. Last month, Kathy and I were in California. We took our 2-year-old grandchild to the library in her hometown. We checked out a few books to read with her. And as we were checking out at the desk, we noticed a small seed library, a library of seeds in an old library card catalog box. Little packets of flowering plant seeds and vegetable seeds. The invitation was simple. Take a packet and plant them. That is all. It warmed my heart to see it. Free and uncommodified. A witness to hope and goodwill in the bleak midwinter, in these bleak times. And I came back and I mentioned it to a few folks. And it's taken seed. I'm sorry. That's not in my notes here. I mentioned it to a few folks, pondering how we might do this in this cathedral, a seed library. It's going to happen. If you want to be a part of it, let Emily Meeks or me know. We'll figure out how we're going to do it together. Because you see, harvesting seeds is an ancient practice that enjoyed a renaissance during the pandemic. But here's the deal. What I would suggest to you is the purpose for such a seed library here at this cathedral is not about saving seeds in the uncertain times in which we live. It is about encouraging us all to plant seeds and watch the tender shoots come up and the flowers apricate to the sun and count it as a sign that the reign of God has come near here and now. It's a simple thing, but it really matters. We will know this reign of God by the marks of peace and justice in our lives. We will see it on the faces of others who have gazed upon the glory of God made manifest in our time by people like you who hold fiercely to a hope that resurrection is the real reality. And we are being invited to orient to it. So apricate, my friends. Feel the warmth on your face as Jesus is speaking to you. To you. Follow me. It's time. Come on.